they've been in the presence of Father. It's not a looking for recognition. It's not looking for a position. It's not trying to earn brownie buttons in the pastor's eyes so that I can move my way up the ladder and be somebody. It's an overflow of who you are. When Pastor read that verse, I don't know why I've always looked over that. I wept yesterday morning when he read that verse, and I just said, "Thank you, Lord." And he read the verse in Romans 1:11 that he came to impart some spiritual gift. And that word impartation, impart, is the whole character of what Tricia and I and what Shiloh Place tries to be. But it's the whole character of what a father is. How can I impart a sense of healing, peace, restoration, always giving, nothing in return? I need nothing from you. Only way you can come to this place is to know the Father deeply in your life. Only way. Godly fathers' actions and character come forth from a feeling of brokenness, a feeling of humility, because they are more concerned with serving than ruling. Don't need a title. Don't need a position. Please don't call me Reverend. Don't like my mail even addressed Reverend. I'm no more Reverend than you are. I'm no Reverend than Mickey Mouse. You know, I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the least of all saints. See, in the younger years, I wanted to rule my children. I wanted to dominate my children. I wanted to be in charge, because when I'm in charge, then I don't risk anything. Things go better my way. But now my 18-year-old is so independent. He's one of the most maturest 18-year-olds I know. He's working full-time job, on salary at the golf course, full-time, and been moved into 18 years old, just graduated high school, been moved into assistant pro in the golf course, full-time at college in the golf course management program, pays his own $2,000 a year car insurance, pays his own $240 a month car payment, pays for all his own clothes, and because I've learned to release him and let him grow. But in the early years, it was holding on. It was dominating. He's 18 years old and shows honor to mom and dad most of the time. At home, he won't pick up nothing. I can't even get him to pick up his own underwear. But at work, he does everything. He says, "You don't pay me $225 a week, you know." But it comes when a godly father finally learns to let go. Because I don't need anything from them. But see, an ungodly father wants to rule, wants to dominate, wants to be in control. Or mother. Doesn't want to let go of the apron strings. See, healing ministry has got to flow out of a place of a death to, "I need anything out of this." A death to self, a death to pride. Pride being more concerned with what people think than what God thinks. That has to come down for anointing to flow. Anytime you start feeling more mature, more superior than another person, the end result will be domination, intimidation, manipulation. The greatest danger of spiritual health and wholeness is when you start feeling you're more whole than the other person. The greatest danger of humility is when God starts bringing you into brokenness and humility and you feel more humble than the other. A great possession to be obtained that becomes one of the greatest trying points of your life. So I'm constantly aware of the darkness that's within me. I'm constantly aware of what I'm full of. I'm constantly aware I have nothing for you. I've learned principles in my life that has helped me come to peace with my past. The old phrase I've heard, make peace with my past. So I know how to walk in that peace 98% of the time. 5 years ago, 20% of the time. And so I need to give away that peace of the past without it moving into pride, because as soon as I move into pride, being more concerned with what people think, I have need again. And I begin to hurt people. I begin to put hooks in people. And any time we need our personal need met, people won't trust you. They'll act like it outside. Anytime I've got an agenda, anytime I'm trying to further my ministry, anytime I'm trying to look good in pastor's eyes, anytime I'm trying to draw people's attention to me, love with a hook on it. And people may not know it here, but we communicate more of what we are here than what we communicate through our words and out of our mind and out of our soul. And they sense that. And so when you get in a one-on-one setting with them, they are reserved and guarded. They can't receive from you. And so if not your fault is, it's never your fault. They're the ones that can't receive. They're the ones that won't open up their life. Now, what have we been projecting in our relationship? Have we been projecting this? Or have we been projecting this? That determines the depth of anointing upon your ministry. Like that. Now, Floyd McClung in the book, The Father Heart of God, excellent book for anybody looking to be a father or mother, tells the difference between the two approaches of fatherhood. I can't read this difference in every church, okay? I can read it here. I know Pastor. Don't know him well, but I know his spirit. And in this, he makes the comparison to dominating fathers or godly fathers or mothers. Dominating fathers function as if they are the source of guidance for people. Godly fathers lead people to God as their source of guidance and seek to help others hear His voice. Dominating fathers emphasize the rights of leaders. Godly fathers emphasize the responsibility and accountability of leaders. Dominating fathers set leaders apart from the body. Godly fathers emphasize the body serving one another with the Lord as the focus. Dominating fathers seek to control the actions of others by do's and don'ts and rules. Godly fathers seek to lead the people into intimacy with the Father, and then you don't desire to grieve him through wrong actions. Dominating fathers emphasize the importance of leaders doing the work of ministry. Godly fathers emphasize the importance of equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Dominating fathers try to force others to conform into their mold. Godly fathers create an atmosphere of trust and love and grace that encourages spiritual growth. Dominating fathers focus more on outward sin and failures of others. Godly fathers focus more on the dealings of the heart, attitudes, and motives and brokenness before God. Dominating fathers focus on the uniqueness of their group, the special revelation they have. We have something others don't have. Godly fathers focus on the unity of the entire body and humility in service to others. You see, imparting the Father's healing love is not a position. It's not a title. It's not you're part of one of the ministry teams, of the four-man teams at the altars or the two-man teams that'll be working in the ministry over there. It's not taught here in these morning sessions. It's not learned. It has nothing to do with a person's position. It has nothing to do with their title, nothing to do with their gifts, nothing to do with their talents. It doesn't take knowledge. It doesn't take ability to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. It is an outworking of who we are in our inner man. This is where anointing flows. And it creates literally a healing environment about your very presence. That people can spend a few moments in your presence. And somehow they walk away just feeling refreshed, just being a few moments with you. Because you recognize those four basic needs of feeling loved, feeling secure in your presence. And feeling secure in your presence happens when they don't feel judged by you in any way. And no matter how hurting they are, no matter what they look like, there's acceptance from you. You accept them the way they are. It's an environment about you. And it's a result of God's character becoming ours and Him filling us with His love, with His servanthood. Because those whom you love, you seek to serve. And when you're filled with an overflowing sense of His love, then Father, how can I serve your family? Most people have that backwards. We'll look at that a little bit tonight. Most people serve in hopes of entering into Father's love. Leads to spiritual burnout. We enter into His love, and then we serve. And you can serve, and God will use that, but it's built upon the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, John 3:6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Romans 8, verse 6. A man whose mind is set upon the flesh worketh death. Verse 7, it's hostile towards God. If our service is out of servant motivation, so we can receive love from God and love from others, eventually it worketh death, it works spiritual burnout, we get tired, weary. Whenever your service gets so cast down and weary, it's because you're doing it in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And we can be flowing in the Spirit, but we say yes, 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 yes to everything, and we get so busy doing, we don't have time for being. That's in the flesh, even though we may know the Father. I get there all the time. I have to learn to stop. I have to learn to slow down. Let's see. Yes.
What was the name of that book?
The Father Heart of God, Floyd McClung. You'll see where I got some of my information from this week, a little bit of it. The Father Heart of God. It's M, last name is M-C, F, capital F-L-O-Y-D. It's a Y-whammer, and the book's about 10 years old, but it's just becoming popular. He is stationed in Sweden, I believe. He teaches a lot. The one who teaches at YWAM a lot is Jack Winter. And he has a book out, Homecoming, just hit the market with this month. The Homecoming. Some of the information I'm teaching comes from him. Jack Winter. This is The Homecoming. Tremendous book to help introduce you to Father. You'll see where I get a lot of the information on the prodigal. It's all about the prodigal. Yes, Floyd McClung is the one that developed the ministry and the teaching, and it's gone, and his book is required reading in YWAM. Mm-hmm. Floyd McClung, The Father Heart of God. And some of this information came from his chapters on this. Becoming a spiritual father or mother, I said that, has more to do with our atmosphere, our countenance. 7% of communication is word, 35% is tone of voice, 58% is our mannerisms and our countenance, our attitudes, our motivations, our character. St. Augustine said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as a last result, if you have to, use words." I'll repeat that. You may want to write that one down. St. Augustine said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as a last resort, if you have to, use words." You see, it's who we are that communicates the good news. People remember our attitudes and our actions far longer than what we say. They remember 7% of what you say within a week. But they never forget who you are as a person. That character, that attitude, that tone of voice, that motivation. Our associate pastor, I used to really say a lot of dumb things. I mean, really stupid things. And I still do at times. But it used to really be horrendous. And God was using us greatly, and we're having one of my accountability sessions with the two pastors and an associate, and this was about 3 years ago, and they said, you know, I finally come to understand why you have so much favor, because it's sure not the way you teach, but it is who you are. You communicate more by impartation who you are than you do verbally. Now, I'm learning to teach a little better and word things better, but I was all the time sticking my foot in my mouth, all the time. Again, just all that old sailor thing. But the thing is, who are you? And a healing atmosphere becomes that byproduct of an entire life. So my goal in here, and I'm going to teach on this Wednesday night, to get a little preview, I don't go, and we said it on a Saturday night, I literally say this to myself dozens of times a day. Father, how can I give your love away to the next person I meet? Start saying that to yourself over and over again. Father, how can I give your love away to the next person I meet? How can I give your love away to the next person I meet? How can I be a safe place for my wife and kids? How can I be a safe place for your kids, Dad? How can they know rest just being in my presence? How can they taste you just a moment? And boy, I love Walmart at Christmas time. I'll get in one of those lines. Everybody's sitting there, and I'm just sitting there. I said, isn't this just great? Just look at all these people around you, just all celebrating the same event. Isn't this wonderful? What are you talking about? This is just horrendous. Just think that all of this is over God just giving us peace. Look at me. But again, first, to say something like that, you have to be peace. And you get up to the counter and just say, you're doing a wonderful job. Now, I've sat back and watched you and how you could have been angry with this person and angry with that person. You know, there's a part of God in you to be able to handle this. There's something of God in you. And they look at you like you are strange, but they never forget that. But see, it's just like asking yourself a simple question. Father, how can I give your love away to the next person I meet? And then knowing when we see Jesus, we see the Father, knowing what is his character, what did he do everywhere he went? Because whatever we do, we learn Sunday, he only did what he saw Father doing. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so how can I become that? Whether we're sinners, whether with the guilty, whether with an adulterous woman, adulterous man, whether with the condemned, how can this person feel totally safe and secure in my presence? How can they feel loved and trusted by me? Even the thief on the cross felt enough trust in Jesus to ask for forgiveness at his most desperate hour. You say, well, I can't do this. I'm too hurt and wounded. Was anybody more hurt and wounded and more of a sinner than Jesus was on the cross? Now, I know that he wasn't. He never sinned, but on the cross he became the sin of the world and all the wounding of the world under him, but yet he still gave the Father's love away at that moment. He led the thief to eternity, to God. You see, that's our challenge. Even when we're the most wounded, even when we've been beaten, even when we've been nailed by our own brethren and sold out, how can I give you love? How can I give you trust? How can I give your hope? How can I give your grace away? Because the level that you give away is the measure by which you're going to receive. And you always reap more than you sow. That's one of the motivations for giving. You'll reap more. Healing will follow you everywhere you go. Love will follow you everywhere you go.
If you would like to order this tape set or any of the other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at area code 843-381-0007 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.